following program is a special presentation from the Talking Information Center. Please enjoy the show.
And now, the Talking Information Center Network presents Suspense. Tonight, TIC's Radio Theater brings you The Thing in the Window, a play written by Lucille Fletcher and originally broadcast on Suspense Radio on December 19, 1946. Suspense Radio's outstanding Theater of Thrills is presented for your enjoyment by the Cultural Councils of the South Shore. So sit back, but don't relax, for Lucille Fletcher's The Thing in the Window is a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Mary?
Yes, Mr. Ames?
Turn that vacuum off for a minute and come over here, will you? I want to show you something.
Yes, sir.
It's right here, out this window. Now, look across the street, directly across. The opposite apartment. Now, you see that window about three windows in from the left with kind of blue draperies?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's someone sitting there in a chair, and he hasn't moved all night. I think he must be dead.
Dead? Lord mercy, Mr. Ames.
Take a look at him and tell me what you think.
Okay, but I don't favor looking at no corpse, Mr. Ames. It's unlucky. Now, which one did you say? Turned one over. Oh, I wish I had my glasses with me.
There. Right there, where my finger's pointing.
I'm afraid I don't see it yet, Mr. Ames.
No, look, the window with the blue draperies. He's wearing a sort of gray suit. The arm, can't you see the arm hanging down over the side of the chair?
No, sir. But you've got good eyes, Mr. Ames. If you see it, I'm not arguing with you. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I don't know. I only began to notice it last night. I guess I first have to be sure that the man's really dead.
That's right, Mr. Ames. You don't want to get yourself into any trouble. Maybe he's only sleeping. Or maybe he's incapacitated. Maybe the poor soul is stricken invalid, eh?
Maybe. Yes? Oh, hello. I'm Martin Ames. Are you the superintendent of this apartment house?
That's what it says on the door.
Well, I've come to inquire about one of your tenants.
Yeah? What is it? What do you want to know?
Well, I live across the street, and I'll be frank with you, sir. I've been looking out my window across to this building now for 2.5 days, and, well, there seems to be someone dead in one of the windows.
Huh? Which window?
Well, it's the 10th floor. I counted from the street, and it's 10 stories up. There's a window with blue draperies about three windows in from the left, facing toward me, that is, and there's a man sitting there slumped down in a chair.
Huh? Just a minute. I'll get out my chart. 10th floor. Up from the street, huh? Well, it's really the 9th floor. The lobby counts one. We got two apartments along the front of the house. It's in the front, yeah?
That's right.
Now, three windows in from the left, that'll be 9B, a four-room. Nah, that couldn't be right. 9B is two ladies. You say this is a man?
Yes.
Young or old?
Well, I can't really tell. The face isn't clearly visible, and the head's slumped forward. But he's wearing a gray suit, and he's sitting in a high winged back chair.
Huh? I don't place him.
Well, maybe he doesn't belong in the house. Maybe he was visiting someone. Like I said, this is all conjecture, of course. He may not be dead, but well, I've watched him a good deal. I'm home a lot in the daytime. My profession, the stage, doesn't take up too much of my time. And well, it looks quite suspicious.
Okay, I'll check on it.
You mind if I stick around?
Oh, no, sit down. I'll give 9B a ring first on the house phone. Oh, Miss Landis? This is Mr. Hansen, the super. Is everything all right up there, Miss Landis? Okay, Miss Landis. Thanks very much. Well, that's that. No soap on 9B. 9A is in the country. Anyway, If I got the window straight, like you said, it ought to be 9B.
The two single ladies?
Yeah, only it couldn't be them. They're real old maids. They've been living in that house for years. Real old-fashioned type, you know? Say, if they knew you thought there was a man in their apartment, the two of them would just jump out of their skins. Whoa!
Well, I don't know what to say. You're sure it must be that apartment?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the place, all right, but you probably just made a little mistake. You know how your eyes can play tricks on you? After all, it is a pretty wide street.
No, I don't think I made any mistake.
Hanson speaking.
Hello, Mr. Hanson. This is Mr. Ames.
Again? It's not there.
But, Mr. Hanson...
I checked on the two apartments this morning. 9A is back from the country. Everybody's okay. And 9B is out walking the dog. No dead bodies in the whole place.
But I can see it. It's still there.
Okay, just where? Will you tell me where?
In the same window. The one you said was 9B. Have you gone inside 9B?
No. No, but I asked them if anybody was sick or dead, and they said no.
You asked them? Well, why didn't you just search their apartment?
What do you mean? Break in while they're out?
No, search it while they're there. Ring the bell, walk in, and do it.
Yeah, not without a search warrant from the police. These apartments don't belong to me. I just take care of the building for the company.
Well, then, let's call the police.
Oh, no, not me, mister. I didn't see no dead body up there.
Well, then I will. After all, somebody's got to do something.
I still maintain, officer, these two sisters are as refined ladies as you're going to find anywhere. High-class, church-going ladies.
Yeah, yeah, that don't mean a thing.
Hey, they got a dog in there. Now, will you tell me one dog that would stay for almost a week in a flat with a dead person?
I'm not telling you nothing. All I know is this gentleman, Mr. Ames, reported a stiff over here. And if he says there is one, there is until it's proved different. Right, Mr. Ames?
Well, I keep seeing the thing day in and day out. I'm not working at the moment, and being home so much...
None of the other neighbors have complained. Dead bodies aren't exactly what we collect here. Okay, right this way, please. I hope they're home.
If they ain't home, you got a pass key, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but we're not supposed to use it unless it's for an emergency.
This is an emergency. The dog bite?
Sometimes.
Get down, Buster. Get down now. Yes, who is it?
I'm awfully sorry, Miss Landis, but there's been some kind of a mix-up. These two gentlemen want to look over your apartment.
Oh, but why? It's not for rent.
Oh, I know. It's just exactly that they want to search around and check.
Come on, come on, come out the palaver. Hey, look, lady, a dead body's been reported sitting in one of your windows.
What?
Yeah, yeah, the guy lives across the street. He's been seeing it here for over a week.
Oh.
Now, come on, open up.
A dead body? But that's impossible. My sister and I live here all alone.
Yeah, 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 we know all about it.
Oh, excuse me a minute, I'll call my sister. Vivian! Vivian!
Oh, come on!
It's the police!
Hey, look, lady, come on. I'm not standing out here all day. Hanson, give me the pass key.
It won't do no good. They got a chain on the door from the inside.
Open up in the name of the law!
How do you do? I'm Vivian Landis. May I ask what this is all about, please?
Certainly, lady. I got a search warrant here on account of a complaint by this gentleman, who said you got a dead body in there.
A dead body? Why, that is perfectly ridiculous.
Yeah, isn't it? But it's been reported. Now kindly take that door off the chain and let us through.
Of course. But first, may I ask how did this peeping Tom see into our apartment? I thought, Mr. Hanson, that we were quite private.
Well, you see, it's not...
He lives across the street, on the same level.
Oh, well then, perhaps we should keep our shades down in the future, although one would think a grown man would have something better to do. Do come right in, gentlemen. Make yourselves right at home.
Thanks.
Is he coming in here too, Mr. Busybody?
No, he doesn't have to if you don't want him.
Well, I most definitely do not.
Okay, Mr. Ames, you better stay outside.
Well, officer, I was hoping to...
Oh, so he wants to poke around in our private rooms, is that it? Well, he better have some ulterior motive in worming his way in. Maybe he has come to get the lay of the land, so he can break in someday to rob us.
Okay, okay, he's not coming in. Now, let us take a look at your window, lady.
Utterly
ridiculous. Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Hey, Ames, what's the big idea?
You didn't find it?
No.
Well, that's very strange.
Yeah. The only thing stranger is about your eyesight. You ought to get your glasses changed.
There wasn't anything in 9B?
No.
Well, I don't understand it. How could I have seen it so distinctly and it's not there? Perhaps it isn't in the window now. Perhaps they hid it while we were waiting outside the door.
Hid it? How do you hide a dead body in a four-room flat? I looked in all the clothes closets and under the sofas and chairs.
Oh, you probably think, oh, it's so terrible to keep seeing it and feeling it slowly decaying there in secret. Why, the thing could be there for weeks. It's so high above the streets and only visible from my apartment. Perhaps it'll never be found. Perhaps it's already being destroyed.
Well, then, if it's gone, what do you got to worry about? You don't have to sit and look at it no more.
Well, I hope it is. I'll tell you, it's really been getting me down. I haven't slept for nights keeping vigil. I'm in a nervous state. I haven't been this nervous in years.
I can see that. Look, why don't you try forgetting about it for a while? Try not to look over into that window, or... go away for a change. You've done what you could, Mr. Ames. If there really is a stiff over there, then it's my business, ain't it? And if there isn't...
You mean... You think
I'm
that
not saying nothing, Mr. Ames. But if I was you, I'd try catching up on my night's sleep.
Hello?
Miss Landis, I'm sorry to disturb you this time of night, but I'm desperate. I haven't anywhere else to turn.
What? Who is this?
This is Mr. Ames, Martin Ames, your neighbor, the one across the street. I was in your apartment yesterday morning with the police, or rather, I was almost inside your apartment. Your sister wouldn't let me in.
No.
Now, please, don't think of me as a pest, Miss Landis. I don't mean to annoy you. It was only because I was just so desperate that I initiated that search.
Oh, it's quite all right. Goodbye.
No, please don't hang up, because it's worse now than it ever was. Oh, Miss Landis, I've been sitting here opposite your apartment, staring into your window, and I'm only asking you to help me, Miss Landis. Please just help me a little.
Help you?
It's still there, Miss Landis.
What is still there?
The dead body in your window.
Oh, my. Oh, there isn't. How dare you? When the police arrive.
I know it doesn't have anything to do with you, but would you do me just one favor, Miss Landis? Would you go into your living room and check just once more?
Oh, I won't. I'll do nothing of the kind. You're out of your mind.
Perhaps I am, Miss Landis. That's what I'm trying to find out. Then perhaps your sister Vivian would help me.
Oh, she's not at home.
Oh, Lord.
And anyway, I don't see how you can see in. I've pulled the shades down in there yesterday morning.
Yes, I know. They're all still down.
Well, then how can you see?
Well, I can't. At least not the actual body. It's just a silhouette. I'm not maligning you or your sister, Miss Landis. It's just, if there's someone dead in there, it's not you who are doing it, but think of me.
What?
If you could just be here and look over there and see the shadow of those quiet fingers, oh, that shoulder,
please.
Oh, that head.
Stop it. It's not here. It isn't.
Just tell me one thing, Miss Landis. There is a chair by that window, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there's a chair.
A high-backed wing chair?
Uh-huh.
And... Have you anything on it? Anything piled up? I mean, like curtains, cushions, a dressmaker's dummy.
Oh, of course not.
Anything that would cast a shadow, like a man's head slumped forward or an arm hanging limp.
No, there's nothing but the chair.
Well, then, would you do me just one more favor, Miss Landis, please? As an experiment, would you just go into the living room and move that chair away from the window, please?
If I do it, would you stop pestering us?
Yes.
Would you leave us alone forever?
Yes, if it works.
If it works, what do you mean? Do you mean...
I can't tell you, Miss Landis, until you move the chair.
Oh,
all right.
I moved it away from the window. It's at the other end of the room, and it's empty.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks very much, Miss Landis. I know what I have to do now.
Oh, you mean?
Yes, Miss Landis. It's still there.
Oh!
Oh,
where
Miss
is
Landis.
It? I should like to see it at once.
Oh, yes, miss, come in. I hope you'll excuse my appearance. I just passed another sleepless night.
So has my sister, and so have I. What do you mean by all this business, Mr. Ames? You have frightened my poor sister nearly to death.
Well, I...
Seeing things that are not there when you know perfectly well they are not.
When I know they're not... Oh, I wish they weren't. I wish to heaven I never looked out that window. Oh, I wish those walls were solid stone, and your walls, too.
Oh, you are a sick man, Mr. Ames.
Oh, am I? I wish I were, but I'm perfectly sane and well. I went to the psychiatrist yesterday, and guess what he told me? That there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing.
I cannot believe it.
I suppose it's a form of madness to persist and persist in seeing this hideous image, but... Not to me, Miss Landis. No, I finally come to an entirely different conclusion.
And what is that?
The supernatural.
The supernatural. A ghost? What nonsense, Mr. Ames.
Yes, I suppose it is nonsense to you.
Yes.
You believe in logic, common sense, the things that give the pretense of solidity to this frail little life of ours. But I'm an artist, and I've always had a feeling for the thing beyond, the intangible, the shadowy. Oh, we are children, Miss Landis, children playing along the edge of the ocean. We laugh and toy with the waves and mock fright, but sometimes one of us slips down into the darkness. Sometimes the depths rise and we glimpse the yawning fangs of the eternal.
You put things rather oddly, Mr. Ames. What exactly do you mean?
Simply this. I checked on your building with the real estate agents yesterday afternoon after I left my psychiatrist. And there was a murder.
In our apartment?
Well, the report doesn't say. You know how they try to hush those things up. But it was a man, a young man, the lover of one of the tenants, a Miss Sweetser.
Sweetser? Why, that is the name of the people who lived there before us.
Oh?
They were an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Sweetser. I never saw any Miss Sweetser.
Well, she died. She was the daughter. She killed herself afterwards by jumping out of one of the windows.
Oh, how perfectly awful.
A rather ghastly coincidence, isn't it?
Was it our window?
Who knows? She must have been a very neurotic person, though, this Miss Sweetser. Half crazed, almost, with love or jealousy. She cut his throat, nearly decapitated him.
Oh.
And it said that when they lifted his body out of the chair later, his head almost rolled.
Mr. Ames, I'd rather not hear. I still can't believe it. If there is something, if there could possibly be something, why haven't we seen it too? Why should you...
Haven't you seen it, Miss Landis?
No.
Are you sure? Never? Perhaps in the middle of the night, getting up and passing that room, seeing that chair outlined against the window just... Just in passing, perhaps. You never had a glimpse?
No. I really must be going.
No. Please stay and look at it. I want you to see it out of my window.
No, my sister Elaine. She's very nervous. I can't leave her alone for so long.
Well, then how will you know, Miss Landis? I thought you came here especially. It'll only take a minute, really. It's right in here, in the bedroom. I just have to let up the Venetian blind. Oh, Miss Landis, don't go! Miss Landis.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello, Sergeant. This is Ames. Martin Ames. I just called to let you know I'm going away tomorrow for a long rest. Yes, shutting up my apartment. I'm all tied up in knots. I don't know what to think. Oh, they did. Yes, I saw the moving van in front of the house, but I didn't know it was those sisters. Couldn't take it, huh? Well, I can't take it much longer myself.
Whoa! Martin! Bravo! Bravissimo, old boy!
Shh! Not so loud! The superintendent, he doesn't like me.
You'd think he wouldn't like you, grabbing this beautiful apartment right from under his nose. He probably had it promised to a friend.
Yes, but you've got it now, Ronald, just as I said.
So I have, old boy, so I have, and it's beautiful. You know, I'm crazy about it. Marty, you've outdone yourself. You've been more than generous.
You'll think nothing of it, Ronald. I was glad to do it for such a distinguished colleague.
Well, it certainly was nice of you, and I wish I could do something in return. I really do. Perhaps that play I'm doing next season. You know, there's a part in it, a rather small part, but very necessary.
Well, thanks just the same, but I'm doing pretty well just now, Ronald.
I don't know how you found it, Martin, in this housing shortage. You must have a sweetheart in the real estate business.
I manage.
When your call came to my manager, I left rehearsal. I wouldn't trust it to anyone but myself. I left the whole cast just standing there on the stage while I came over. And when I asked this gloomy character, Hansen, he said he'd heard nothing about it. I insisted, of course. I told him who I was, and finally he called up. Sure enough, these two sisters who lived here just decided to move out.
Well, I hope you didn't mention my name. You know, if Hansen knew that I tipped you off... No.
You asked me not to. Anyway, I think my own name was enough. Seriously, Marty, how did you know? Were they friends of yours?
Oh, no. It's all a long story. Come, let's sit down, shall we? In the living room. Oh, no. You take the chair.
Why, thank you.
Well, I guess they must have left that when they moved out. To be frank, Ronald, I got this apartment by a ruse.
A ruse? What kind of ruse?
Well, a pretty nasty one, actually. I frightened the last tenants away. I told them I saw a dead man sitting here in this window.
Oh, Martin, really, how clever of you. Of course there wasn't.
No, of course not. I made him up out of whole cloth. You see, I live across the street, directly across in that apartment there with the striped curtains. They were very scary women. I used to watch them from my own place, always going to bed early, always pulling down the shades at night. And then there was this chair by the window. That very one you're sitting in now.
Really?
One night, just sitting there late, I got an amusing thought. There was a kind of shadow across the chair that night, and it reminded me a little bit of a corpse. And it came to me that it might be fun to create a part, a character, a corpse that wasn't there.
Oh, I don't quite follow you.
Well, some actors need a play, Ronald, to create a role. Others, the great ones, work out their own dramas. I proceeded to invent a part for myself. I was the eyewitness, the innocent bystander across the street who saw a corpse in here, and I kept seeing it. And seeing it. And finally, by the power of suggestion, it became real enough to frighten them away.
Very clever, but wasn't it rather drastic?
Not at all. And proved my point, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
And it got you the apartment.
Well, really, that was very kind.
Well, I had always hoped we'd be neighbors, Ronald. As a matter of fact, the whole idea for this thing came to me that day last May, when you turned me down for that part outside Sardi's. Don't you remember? You said you were looking for a place then.
Did I?
Oh, yes. And it was then that I first thought how nice it would be to see you right across the street, sitting in this window. I simply had to bring it about, and that was the night that I went to work on the thing in earnest. Oh, no, Ronald, don't get up. I'm not through.
Really, old boy? I'm afraid the gang at the theater don't even know that I'm here.
Wait. People always wait for you, don't they, Ronald? Oh, I could call them for you, of course, but the phone's been disconnected.
Well, I'm afraid that I, which way is the door, old boy? Now, really, Marty, it's been very kind of you
What's
to...
What's the matter? Don't you like the apartment, Ronald? Aren't you going to take it after all my work?
Yes, yes, I like it very much. The door's locked.
Yes, Ronald. I'm afraid you'll have to find your way out alone. There. That'll keep you quiet. Silence always became you. Better than all that ranting and glibness and charm, Ronald. And now? Now I've got the part for you. A part to end all parts. And you'll play it, of course, entirely in a chair. Now, there isn't much action. Not a line to say. You'll just sit, Ronald. And you'll sit in this chair by the window. Oh, it'll be the greatest performance of your career. You like to hog all the fattest roles for yourself, didn't you? Well, this is a part that's been talked about up and down this street for weeks. Well, you'll play the part of a ghost, of a corpse that never was, a hallucination in my brain. And who will be your audience? I will. I, the insignificant, outmoded ham who wasn't fit to appear in your precious plays, but good enough to put you here. Who's the better actor now, Ronald? Goodbye, Ronald. See you across the street.
And so closes The Thing in the Window, tonight's tale of suspense. This Talking Information Center's radio theater production features the voice talents of Rick Mason, Grant Baxter, Don Smith, Kristen Arute, Jennifer Love, George Crine, and Pam Murphy. It was produced and directed by Laura Kerrigan and engineered by John Shea with assistance from Liz Collins. On behalf of our cast and everyone here at the Talking Information Center, we would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, good night.